Hello and welcome to another episode of the Prop Swap Podcast. We are your hosts, Ian Epstein.
And Luke Pergandy.
And we are also the founders of Prop Swap, the first marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We've got another great episode for you. Of course, it will be all about March Madness. The first two rounds are in the books. And before we get into some of the big sales from the first couple rounds, I thought just kind of give a quick breakdown as it kind of pertains to, of course, Prop Swap and the part we all love, which is the futures betting and the long shots. However, Luke, this was pretty chalky the first couple of rounds. Of course, this stat has been thrown out a lot, but I would just mention it. The betting favorites were 15-1 straight up and 11-5 against the spread in the second round. The top two seeds from every region advanced to the Sweet 16 for just the fifth time ever. Only one double-digit seed, NC State, advanced to the Sweet 16 for only the second time since 2008, where only one double-digit seed advanced. The average seed for the Sweet 16 teams right now is 3.3. That's right behind the lowest ever, which was 3.1. That happened in 2019 and 2009. For perspective, the average is around 4.5, again, compared to 3.3. And then in 2021, which was like the most recent Loyola year, although when they lost to Oregon State in the Sweet 16, that still brings up bad memories. But in 2021, the average seed was 5.88, again, compared to 3.3 this year. So I'll stop there. What was your takeaway or some of your kind of takeaways from the first two rounds?
Kentucky upset was probably my favorite game. Of course, Oakland and what's his name? Galkey, the kid that hit 10 threes in one game.
That shot chart is unreal. I mean, he had like 8 2-point attempts the entire season.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I had no idea that there was a player that existed like that. You know, the Japanese guy in Nebraska, just kind of stories that come to fruition before the tournament started. This kid was not on my radar at all. I had no idea a player like that existed who only shoots threes. So almost got the tournament record. But to me, that was the game of the tournament so far. Just incredible to, you know, he hit the nail on the head. Probably five or six guys in that Kentucky roster are going to play pro ball at some point, and he'll probably be selling insurance the rest of his life. So that those are just the types of stories that are what make March Madness incredible. And, you know, a blue blood gets sent packing by a team that I think 98% of America couldn't tell you where Oakland is. It's in Michigan, but I think most people would say it's in California if they had to guess.
Yeah. I knew it was in Michigan. I've spent enough time in Michigan to know that, yeah, there's a Oakland county there. But I'm going to say I was completely right on Kentucky. On last week's episode, I said swap Kentucky. Their defense is not good enough. And just that brand of basketball. And everyone was saying after the fact is like the one and done era might be over. I will say, I had probably Kentucky going further than zero wins,
sure,
but I was pretty right on that. However, I could not have been more wrong on Auburn, who also lost the first round to Yale. I still can't believe they lost to Yale, especially after Yale got blown out by San Diego State in the late Sunday window. So, you know, victory lap on Kentucky, but I'm still shaking my head about Auburn. Auburn losing. Just all the stats pointed to, you know, towards a deep run there.
Oh, that was by far the trendiest pick. I was watching the pregame. I think it was Candace Parker's that desk with like Lefko and I forget the other two guys on that desk, but Candace was like pre Auburn Yale. It was like, this is about to be a bloodbath. Meaning Auburn is just going to destroy Yale. Like everyone was on Auburn that game. And that as we've seen with sports betting, anytime the whole desk is picking one team, be suspect about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're totally right. And you know, you would hope that in Oakland or Yale would have won that second game and gotten to the second weekend. But like mm-hmm. I said, only one double digit seed, NC State, who they're still a dangerous team. I'm not counting Marquette as a even though they're a six and a half point favorite, I'm not counting that as a win for Marquette. NC State, as we've talked about, they won that ACC tournament. They've won what, like, seven games, they won seven games in 12 days. So they're playing well. I think another good story that's gonna, that's come out is DJ Burns, the big center on NC State. So they're playing really well. And yeah, I totally agree that Auburn was, it was, I was talking to some people before the tournament and I was like, they asked me who I would like and how I liked. And then I say Auburn, and he said me too. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure if I like Auburn as much anymore. It was extremely, trendy pick. Yes. So it's been much talked about how the favorites, went 15-1 straight up. They were such big favorites on the money line that it's not like you would have cleaned up at the sports book if you bet all of those favorites winning. Some info you found, Luke, is that if you would bet $100 to win $100 on every money line, you'd be basically even or like up a little bit versus not being
pick every versus favorite. Yeah, $100 on every favorite money line.
You'd be about flat from the first 4 days. One of those teams, the one team of those 16 that lost that was the favorite was Baylor, which was an interesting day on Sunday for me and you, Luke. So if you don't follow PropSwap on social media, which first of all you should, we are at PropSwap on Twitter as well as Instagram, then you probably missed this story from Sunday afternoon. A PropSwap customer had an 18 leg parlay that combined games from Friday night, all day Saturday, and then Sunday as well. I will not go through all 18 picks.
Some NIT stuff as well. Picked Seton Hall.
Some NIT stuff as well. The customer bet $50 to win $202,000. And look, there was a lot of favorites, not all favorites, but quite a few favorites. And Saturday being such a good day for favorites, that meant that this parlay was still live going into Sunday with two legs remaining. Those last two legs were Baylor Moneyline and UConn -13. He had a cash out offered from the sportsbook DraftKings, $59,110. However, before those games started, we got the customer an offer of $70,000, heading into those two games. I'll let you take it here from here, Luke. It sounded like he kind of wanted to play it by ear a little bit, which is fine. And we deal with a lot of in-game sales, all the time, especially during this tournament. But this was particularly tricky because it's not like the Baylor game was going to end prior to the UConn game starting. We knew that these two games were going to overlap, and so If Baylor had won, then who knows what the score of that UConn Northwestern game would have been at that time. However, of course, Baylor did not win, and they were down for most of the game. But Luke, I'll let you take it over from here, as you were dealing with the seller for most of the day.
Yeah. So he came from a friend of mine who works for the PFL, Professional Fighting League, and came to us. He's like, "Hey, friend of mine highly recommends PropSwap. I hear you guys deal on these types of situations. I'm super interested in selling. I talked to Will, our friend at PFL, all night on Saturday night. I think I'm ready to sell." His thoughts were, and I don't know where they came up with this sale price. they thought it could fetch around 100,000 when he came to us. I'm like, well, it's a two-leg parlay at this point. You need Baylor Moneyline, which agreed is not a coin flip. They were like minus 200. And then you need UConn to cover the 13, which is like minus 110. So yeah, one of them is a coin flip, but the other one is heavier. So, you know, it's better than a traditional two-leg parlay where it's two coin flips. It's one is heavier. So they're a little bit off on the pricing, but that was the problem. Is that I think he came into the conversation being like, I want to sell this for 100,000, do it now. And I was like, well, it's only worth 70,000. So that's where the misunderstanding was. And I think he was just unwilling to take 70,000. And we talked about splitting the bet up. And I think that's what piqued his interest the most, is that he could sell half of this bet on PropSwap and then hold on to the other half, as we've discussed many times. And I told him this. It's funny that, like, we all say it's about the money for sports betting. To me, it's not about the money. It's about being right. And if you can still say at the end of Sunday night that I got money because I was right, meaning Baylor wins and UConn covers the 13, and I was correct, and DraftKings is about to pay me, even if we split it up, he sells 100K on PropSwap and sell and keep holds on to the other 100K from DraftKings, he still gets to be correct that DraftKings is going to pay him 100 G's because he was right. And I think that's what makes gamblers tick and why customers find the selling half so intriguing with us when we propose that. So that's what he was trying to do. Now, the problem was a couple things, like you said, making that decision in that, like, you know, as soon as you possibly could post Baylor winning was going to be a problem because they overlapped. And this sale was going to happen in game, in the UConn game, no matter what. Like, fact, no doubt about it, he would have to sell this bet in game. So that was a problem. And then the other problem is that Clemson jumped out early and they never looked back. Clemson literally was just, they jumped out to like a 6-point lead and then 8-point lead, and they held the whole game. And that was the problem, is that trying to get a nice price, even if we agree to split this thing up, he just never had a chance because Clemson just jumped all over him from the get-go, and the price was deflated because of that.
Yeah. And look, if Baylor was winning at halftime, my guess is he would, that would have meant more than he would have sold. Now, if it was like a tie game at halftime, then maybe he's like, all right, you know what? Yeah. I'm getting out. But when they're, you know, down 10 at halftime and the new, you know, market value is 36,000, you know, and then it's like that. Yeah. You know, it's, he's probably, yeah, at this point, just hoping to ride it out. But yeah, I totally agree with what you said about it's not so much about the money. Look, we see the same thing happen, whether the bet collects $2,000 or $200,000. It's more, I think it's more so the story that they can tell for, you know, however, you know, for years to come about how the, you know, hit some 4,000-to-1 parlay and you know, took the sports book. And then the other point you mentioned, which also happens a lot in with PropSwap customers, is they have a number in their head that they came up with, and anything short of that number is, you know, basically losing money at that point. And then, you know, of course, for the 100th time, people always say this online. They're like, well, you know, just hedge by betting Clemson. Well, again, as I mentioned, this bet was $50. Okay. I'm sure the guy has maybe some cash, but if your goal is to walk with 100,000 or in this case, the market value being 70,000, I mean, you have to bet what, $30,000, you know, $20,000, on Clemson, which, on a Sunday, you know, on a Sunday morning, when, you know, no wires, no transfers. I mean, it's tough to come up with that cash. Yeah.
That, and him and I talked about that for a lot. That's the problem, is it was a Sunday. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't know this. When you're when we deposit ACHs into DraftKings, that withdraw, that ACH hit is not hitting my bank account until Monday. They are YOLOing. DraftKings is YOLOing when I deposit money into DraftKings. Like, I'll go $5,000 deposit, $5,000 deposit. That ain't getting taken from my bank account until Monday. So unless you have a good relationship with the sports book, which I'm assuming is case by case, I imagine DraftKings doing case by case. Some people they let YOLO, some people they don't, because there's been times where I've got declined and nothing's changed. So my point is, trying to get money into your DraftKings account, which is where this bet came from on a Sunday, really hard. Yeah. Really hard. So he, there was, people ask me, how much do I think he hedged on Clemson? I would guess under 5,000.
Yeah. Yeah, it stinks. And, you know, we got him offers before the game. We got him offers during the game. Of course, as you mentioned, Clemson was winning the whole thing. So those offers were just continually going down, 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 down. Baylor almost came back. But as we see a lot of times in college basketball, you know, if you can make the come, if you're down double digits, you can kind of make the comeback and get close. But it's you expend so much energy to get close that it can kind of fall apart there at the end, which is exactly what happened. But yeah, sorry, you know, tough. But yeah, yet another example of where
Darren Novell called this, these are his words, not mine, the story of the tournament so far, betting story of the tournament. So pretty fun to have it happen the last day of the first weekend. And, you know, shout out to company friends that they highly recommended us. Shout out to him for even engaging with us. He absolutely was interested in selling it. And those are the type of people we like. We're maybe not always going to agree on price, and they have a price in their head that's different than reality, that, you know, we mark things to market. But shout out to him for even coming to us and playing the game. And we were going back and forth all game long trying to get it sold. So sad it didn't work out. But, you know, I think he got something. Like I said, he hedged on Clemson a little bit, and we obviously got two million page views out of it, at least, from all the different people tweeting about it.
Yeah. It certainly made Sunday definitely more exciting as I was following along as well. And if you ever feel like it, try watching the in-game odds fluctuate of a basketball game. It will give you a headache. I mean, it fluctuates on a ridiculous level, and it can be, a team can be -250 and then literally 30 seconds later -900 and then back to -400. It'll give you a headache trying to follow along. But another great kind of prop swap story from the weekend. But the team that beat Baylor, Clemson, you know, although they are a six seed, I would still say they are one of the long shot stories from this tournament. And here's one Clemson sale that we had after that Baylor game. On March 9th, a customer placed a $93 two-leg parlay that included an NHL game and Clemson to reach the Final Four. This was prior to the brackets being set. After Clemson advanced to the Sweet 16, the customer sold that $93 bet for $500. So basically a 4x return for the seller, and odds of 10-1 for the buyer on Clemson, who only needs to win two more games, although they will probably be underdogs. They're definitely underdogs against Arizona, and, you know, would probably be an underdog against either North Carolina or Alabama. The other interesting part from this sale is that the person who bought the ticket has also purchased several Arizona championship futures on PropSwap. So this 10-1 Clemson purchase is kind of a great hedge against those Arizona futures, and something that I would, you know, recommend to people out there as well, right? You can hedge your futures by, you know, not always just, you know, not necessarily hedging by betting the other team on the money line or getting another future on them. These, you know, you can find long shot region winners, right? You're getting 10-1 on a team that just needs to win two more games. And so that's a great hedge. You know, a 10-1 Clemson region bet is a good hedge against a 10-1 Arizona championship future, right? So I did think that was interesting that the same customer has purchased both those teams who are playing each other on Thursday.
Yeah, first game of the Sweet 16. Arizona Clemson, second widest spread of this round at 6.5, tied with Marquette. First widest spread is UConn at 10.5. I don't know. San Diego State, they look good. We obviously, Arizona got Keyshawn Johnson, one of SDSU's best players from last year's national championship finalist. But yeah, UConn looks That looks like a wagon right now. They look really good.
Yeah. Switching to the other side of the bracket, want to talk a little bit about Houston. One of our biggest sales of the weekend was a Houston championship ticket where a customer had bet 5,600 at 11.5 to 1 odds on Houston. And then prior to their second round game, received and accepted a bid on their ticket for $9,000. So sold a $5,600 ticket for $9,000. And the buyer received odds of plus 678 when the Cougars were plus 600 or worse at every sports book. But I bet you that buyer was sweating on Sunday night when Houston blew a 12-point lead with under 2 minutes left to be forced into overtime. Texas A&M hitting a buzzer-beater three to send the game to overtime. But Houston did prevail, and they're moving on to play Duke. I bet you that buyer was having a semi-panic attack to purchase a ticket for $9,000 and then, 8 hours later, almost, have it go away. But hey, Houston won, and, now they're down to 5 to 1 at sportsbooks. Mm-hmm. And again, this buyer got plus 678. But also on the other side, I bet you the seller was feeling pretty nice, not having to sweat that A&M game. But I know you like Houston, maybe more than I do, but what was your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at Jamal Shedd's, Houston star player's mother in the crowd, they kept showing her, and Jim Nance looked pretty nervous. He's a famous Houston alum. They looked darn nervous, did the mom and Nance. And then, of course, so many Houston players followed out. They had that Elvin kid, that like white walk-on that he shot like 4 free throws the whole year. And now he's, I've certainly been lonely at the free throw line. I'm sure everyone that's played basketball in their life, like, that is as lonely as it gets. And to do it after shooting 4 free throws your whole season and having to come in and save your team and knock down a couple. He missed one and made the second. That is as nerve wracking as it gets in sports.
Yeah. I mean, look, yes. All those people, all those Houston fans were nervous. But for almost the entire second half, they were celebrating. I mean, again, 12-point lead with under two minutes left. Is crazy. So, another great sale. And look, even though you could call the Sweet 16 pretty chalky, which it is, on the other hand, it's pretty wide open. And yes, UConn is a wagon. I cannot believe they are now basically 2 to 1 at certain sports books, with 4 more games remaining. I find that hard to believe because they're gonna be playing good teams from here on out, right? Like Illinois, Iowa State, good teams. Assuming to get past SDSU, they could play Arizona in the Final Four. So I do think UConn is. I think it's more a function of the risk than it is their actual chances. But it's a very wide open tournament with a lot of blue bloods and good teams. And I think that's probably a good time now to start talking about a couple of these. So let's get into Stake or Swap. First up, we're going to stick on this Houston-Duke matchup, but specifically, let's talk about Duke, currently 25-1 to win the championship. I will go first. I am staking Duke at 25-1. They did not reach the semifinal of the ACC tournament, which I've talked about before being a good or bad indicator, but as we've seen, NC State, pretty good. That's who they lost to in the ACC tournament. Heading into March Madness, Duke was ranked 7th in offense and 26th in defense in the KenPom rankings, which, pretty much falls under that top 25 rule. I feel like they've kind of quietly dismantled these teams in the first two rounds, and not enough people are talking about it. They held Vermont, who averaged 70 points a game in the regular season, to 47, and then they hung 93 on James Madison. They have outscored their two opponents by a combined 55 points. And then, you know, as I talked about earlier, I just do not love, I do not love Houston's brand of basketball as it translates to the tournament. They have a great defense, but I don't think their lack of depth, which definitely showed out on Sunday night, and their lack of offense at times, I do not think that translates well to tournament success. And as you said, Luke, like if it wasn't for Jamal Shedd like taking over that game Sunday night, Houston easily could have been eliminated. So Duke 4.5-point underdog against Houston. Look, if you want to do a money line rollover, be my guest. Most people don't have the bankroll, you know, patience to do that. So 25-1 on a really solid Duke team. I'm staking Duke.
Totally get it. All extremely fair points. I'm going to swap Duke just because I think Houston is. I still think they're the best team. That was the most amount of weakness I've seen them have probably all season. I've watched, I don't know, maybe six or seven of their games. For Texas to let Texas A&M come back is bad. There's no excuse for that. But I think that, so first of all, this is the game of the tournament. Houston Duke is by far the best game of the tournament so far. It's going to be a battle, super, very physical, and Duke doesn't really get that physical. So that's probably my biggest question in this game is how is, you know, Kyle Filipowski and the freshman like McLean who like went off against James Madison. Like, how are they going to react if Houston pushes them around, which is their brand of basketball? But yeah, I mean, this is a tough one because James Madison, in my opinion, was the hottest team in the tournament. They absolutely destroyed Wisconsin, and for Duke to just punch them in the mouth, win by almost 40 is crazy. So yeah, that's going to be an absolute contest come Friday night. So yeah, I still, just because I've been picking Houston most of the year, I like their defense enough. Game of the tournament, I'll stick with Houston and still swap Duke.
All right, let's move on to what I think is another great matchup here in the Sweet 16. Gonzaga against Purdue, another number one seed in that region is Purdue. But let's talk about Gonzaga, currently 27-1 to win the championship. Luke, I will start with you first. Are you staking or swapping Gonzaga?
Yeah, I'm going to stake Gonzaga. They really impressed me coming to play against Kansas, and like the counterpoint to that would be, it seems like Bill Self was already saying he's like looking forward to next season, and obviously they didn't have their star player, but like you still had Hunter Dickinson and some other good supporting cast on Kansas, and Gonzaga just rolled them. I mean, they jumped out early and just kept the foot on the gas pedal the whole time. So that's one thing that I think Arizona does not do a good job of, is keeping your foot on the gas pedal. They constantly let these teams back into basketball games. And to your point, Houston did exactly that as well. So that's a problem. So I think Gonzaga has that ability to keep their foot on the gas pedal. I've been a Purdue hater the whole season. My biggest concern is who's going to guard Zach Edey on Gonzaga's team. They have like one big guy, but he's not like a 7-footer. So that's obviously a concern. Anytime you go up against Zach Edey, who's going to guard him? But I think that the firepower is strong enough with Gonzaga, second best shooting percentage in the country, that they'll be able to outlast them if it comes down to like free throws, and as long as they can keep it close.
Yeah, I'm going to swap Gonzaga. You mentioned how the you know, rolled Kansas, which, you know, if that final score, yes, they did. But I mean, if my memory serves correct, I think it was like a 1-point game at halftime. It was actually a pretty close game. Okay. It was a pretty close game in the first half. But then Gonzaga pulled away the second half. But yeah, I think it was a 1-point game at halftime, which kind of leads me to my point of like, I do not think Gonzaga's that good.
It was. You're, yeah, right. 1-point game at half, ended up winning by 21. But yes, 1-point game at half. Correct.
Right. And you know, Purdue's got a really good offense. The Gonzaga defense ranks 41st in the KenPom rankings. gave up 69 points on average in the regular season, 82nd overall in the country. And so I just think they're going to have a tough time stopping Purdue. And, you know, yes, ever since Arizona lost to Purdue, I've kind of been a Purdue hater, but I've kind of turned the corner on the team just from the perspective of, and they keep running commercials for this documentary that is ironic, but this about Virginia when they lost as a one seed and then came back the next year and won the championship. And there've been a lot of parallels to Purdue in mm-hmm. that regard, which I kind of buy into. Like, Purdue has basically had a bad taste in their mouth for last year. And so I think they are on a mission and they're not going to be losing focus, perhaps maybe like they did last year. And then, you know, I'll admit it is extremely frustrating to watch games with Zach Edey and the way he's officiated. It's very frustrating mm-hmm. to watch, but he gets calls and it works for Purdue. And so I have Purdue winning this game. And so for those reasons, I will be swapping Gonzaga's chances. But those are two great.
Yeah, it's going to be such a good Sweet 16. Honestly, my favorite ever. Like, there's just so many marquee matchups as opposed to like a Florida Gulf Coast or a team that like maybe doesn't belong. And obviously they prove this happens every year where teams prove us wrong that like they do belong, Florida Gulf Coast, Loyola, Chicago, Florida Atlantic, etc. But I think all these games are just such a good matchup. UConn, SDSU, maybe that's the widest spread, but I even think SDSU might be able to push them. So it will be really fun.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. The third, you know, the Illinois Iowa State game, I feel like not enough people are talking about Illinois. I almost picked them for my to stake them, but being in that region with UConn is probably the scary part. And then I also think Alabama's live against North Carolina. They put up a for ton sure. of points. That is such a run and gun offense, and so
for sure
I would not. They have a chance against anyone in the country with the amount of points that these score. So it's going to be a fantastic slate of games. This Thursday, Friday is going to be fantastic. So in the meantime, tons of great tickets for sale. As we talked about, you know, customers who got in early are now trying to get out. So any teams you like, go head to PropSwap, PropSwap.com or the PropSwap app to find great deals on title futures, regional tickets. And then if you're holding on to one of these teams as well, give us a ring and we'll get that ticket sold for you. So thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. Please make sure to give us a follow on social media, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a rating, and we will talk to you next week.